Hello everybody, welcome to Hold the Line. My name's Joe and I'm a British force-free gundog trainer. You can check out my online courses at forcefreegundog.com. The newest course is called Training the T-Drill. You can also pick up a copy of my book called Force-Free Gundog Training, The Fundamentals for Success, which is available on Amazon's everywhere around the world. There's also an accompanying workbook to record your training sessions in. I'm currently working on a sequel to Force-Free Gundog Training, and I hope it's going to be out maybe in about 6 months. We'll see. That's all for now. Let's get on with the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Christmas Bonanza special episode in 15 minutes. Today's subject is my dog has problems with blind retrieves.
Train your gun dog without force or fear. Motivate and educate. Hold the line is here. Prevention, repetition, generalization, motivation. Hold the line.
Hey everybody, there's just a couple more days left of the Christmas sale for my courses on my website, forcefreegundog.com. So if there are any courses that you want to buy right now, head over to the website, forcefreegundog.com, and you can get 40% off any of the courses. And you can get more than one if you want. You can get them all if you want with the discount code HAPPYHOLIDAYS2023. Happy Holidays 2023, and there's only a couple of days left now on this sale, so please don't leave it to the last minute, because I don't know what time zone the computer is in, because it's in the cloud somewhere, and just don't ask me about that. Just don't leave it to the last minute. Get the courses that you need before computer does weird things with time zones. Anyway, let's get on to the subject that we're going to be talking about today, which is blind retrieves and having a problem with blind retrieves. I was deliberately kind of vague when I came up with the subject here, because there are actually lots of problems that you can have with blind retrieves, and I didn't specify which one. I did that deliberately because I kind of want to just sort of take a bit of a sort of overview of blind retrieves, really, rather than focusing on any one particular problem. So there are lots and lots of podcast episodes that you can check out on this subject. So if you are having problems with your blind retrieves, the podcast episodes that you want to head over and check out are 30, 33, 34, 36, 41, 47, 48, 62, 64, 66, 85, 88. I feel like I'm doing bingo or something here. And if you want to check out the online courses, which are going to help you with blind retrieves, I suggest that the place to start is, perhaps obviously, with the course called Blind Retrieves. And at the same time, you can do the Remote Stop course. So that will equip you with a strong and determined, relatively straight run out from your side. And it will also equip you with the stop, the remote stop. So then you just need to be able to handle your dog. So then you need First Steps in Three-Handed Casting, which is another course. And after that, you need Training the T-Drill. It's another course. So I'll just run through this again. So the courses are Blind Retrieves, Remote Stop, First Steps in Three-Handed Casting, and Training the T-Drill. And there's kind of those four courses at the moment that I have for training blind retrieves. In the pipeline next, probably, is going to be a course on lining. That's going to be the next course. Now, the thing that I want to say about blind retrieves is that it's like a little bit of a training puzzle, really, and we're going to put together all these different component parts so we can make up a functioning blind retrieve. So what do I mean by that? Well, the first course that I have, Blind Retrieves, is designed to help you teach your dog to run out in a straight line from your side with confidence and over a considerable distance. So one difficulty with blind retrieves, if we don't train them in a sort of consistent, reliable, organized and coherent manner, is that the dog just lacks confidence to keep running. So the dog will often sort of run out some distance. Some dogs, it might just be a few meters. Some dogs, it might be a little bit further. But at some point, they start to look like they're thinking, what am I doing here? What is this about? I'm not sure about this anymore. And they appear to lose confidence and stop running, which isn't much use if the thing you want them to retrieve is still like 100 yards further away from where they've stopped. So one of the things that we need to do with blind retrieves, in fact, the first most essential core component of a successful blind retrieve is a dog, which will just keep running, basically, confidently away from you. Now, if you've got that, you can finesse everything else, really. I mean, if you have a dog which will just at least get out so it's on a level with the blind retrieve out there somewhere, but it's not, you know, it's the retrieve is left or right, well, that's all about handling. We can do that. Left and right is a lot easier than just keep going away from me kind of thing, if that makes sense. Basically, it's easier to teach the dog to run parallel to you, to give it a left or a right cast, than it is to for the dog to have the confidence to run away from you in the opposite direction to you. So that's a back cast, but it's also running from your side. It's the same thing. The dog's still running away from you with either of those options. So our first task really is to help the dog learn to run and keep running confidently away from us. So the method that I like to use to teach this involves teaching the dog to run to a white fence post and gradually moving that fence post further and further away. And the fence post can either have food at it. In fact, I quite like beginning things with food at the fence post. It makes a quite a strongly well-reinforced, hyper-exciting place to head for, which tends to make a big impression on the dog. And even when you stop using the food later on, in terms of putting it at the post, and when you put dummies there, the dog on some level still seems to associate the fence post with food because it is strongly programmed in as a desirable place to head for, really. So yeah, I like to use that method of teaching the dog to run to the white fence post. Now, the thing people often wonder is what happens when the fence post isn't there? What happens when, you know, you're in a sort of competition situation and there's no fence post for the dog to be able to see? So I mean, we can't climb inside the dog's head and see exactly what happens. My theory about what happens and why this still works is that the dog believes that the fence post is out there. They just believe they haven't got there yet. So they head off, and by that point, they're, you know, well practiced at heading for fence posts, which are a considerable distance away. And they think, well, maybe I just can't see it yet. Maybe I just have to keep running and looking ahead and looking forwards and looking there for it while I'm running. Then I'm going to find it. And they're stopped and they're cast, or they're stopped and they're told to find the dummy before that, because, you know, in reality, it's not there when it's a competition situation. But the dog doesn't know it's not there. The dog believes it's out there somewhere. And if they just keep running, they'll eventually find it. Now, this is my theory about why this works and how this works. It can't be proven because we can't climb inside the dog's head. But this is what I think. It makes sense in terms of learning theory as well. So anyway, so this is the first thing we're going to teach the dog: to run away from us in a pretty straight line and to keep running, have the confidence to keep running. So that is the material on the blind retrieves course. Separately, we need to be teaching the dog the remote stop. So in order to be able to handle a dog, we need to be able to stop the dog. It's going to be pretty unusual, especially when your blind retrieves get to be a considerable distance, that we're going to be able to line the dog perfectly and put them right on the dummy or the bumper from our side. It's going to be pretty unusual for that to happen. So some kind of handling is probably going to be involved in most blind retrieves. Even if you have an excellent kind of run out from your side kind of blind retrieve, you're going to need the handling side of things as well. So you need the remote stop first, and you can train that whilst you're training the kind of running out from your side thing. If you have a Spaniel or a HBR, the remote stop is also going to be useful to you at the flush of game as well. It's going to be an important part of that side of things. So it pays off to be training it well from the beginning as well. If you have a retriever, you're just going to be using your remote stop within the context of a retrieve. It's quite funny, actually, because I've got three dogs at the moment. I've got a 9.5-year-old Labrador, Moy, and I've got two HBRs, a GSP and a Weimaraner. And if one of them hits up game, I'll sit them all. So if they're all out with me somewhere and one of them puts up some game, or if I see some deer or something, I'll just sit them all and blow my sit whistle. And what's interesting is that Moy, the Labrador, hasn't been trained to sit in that situation because she's only been trained to sit within a retrieve. So she's got no idea. She seems to have no idea what that the sit whistle means, sit outside of the context of a retrieve, because that's kind of out of her job description. Whereas the two HBRs are well trained to sit and will just sit, usually to the flush of game without the whistle. But so this is quite interesting to me now. But anyway, that's a little kind of cul-de-sac we've gone down there. Let's get back on track. So basically, if you've got a retriever, they're going to have to sit, and their remote sit or stop is going to be part of the chain, which is a blind retrieve. If you've got a HBR or Spaniel, they're going to have that remote sit or stop within the chain of a blind retrieve, but they're also going to have the same behavior at the flush. So it's another kind of place where it's going to be useful. So I'm not going to go into how to train the remote stop, because there's a whole course on how to train the remote stop on my website. But let's just assume you've done that. So you've got these two bits now. You've got your dog running out confidently from your side and keeping on going, and you've got your stop behavior trained. So you can now send the dog from your side, you can stop them. Great. So next, what you need to be able to do is handle the dog left and right and back once you've stopped them. So the place that I like to start with that is three-handed casting. And three-handed casting refers to left, right, and back. It's actually four-handed casting, because there are two back casts. You can do a left back, so the dog turns over their right shoulder, or you can do a right back, so the dog turns over their left shoulder. So really, really, it's four-handed casting. I don't know why it's called three-handed casting, but it just is. So I like to do this to begin with using platforms and keeping it in quite a small area. So I even do this indoors to begin with, using platforms inside, and then I'll use the yard or the garden with platforms as well. And only after that do I progress out to the field and move across to the white fence post, which the dog understands because they've experienced the white fence post from blind retrieves. So in blind retrieves, we would just have one fence post, and the dog will go from my side to the fence post, like a line. And in three-handed casting, we are sitting the dog, and there is one fence post to the left of them, one fence post on the right of them, and one fence post behind them for the back pile. And we're kind of teaching the dog to take those casts from me standing in front of them. So it's about training the left, the right, the back left, the back right casts. So that's that. And then we're almost putting things together. We've got all these little separate bits now. We've got a dog which will stop at any moment, and we've got a dog which will run out from our side and keep running. We've got a dog which will take casts left, right, and back. So all that remains really is to put it all together. And putting it all together for the first time is what the T-drill is about. So that's what the training the T-drill course is about. In the T-drill, we have the dog running from our side, and in front of us, we have a fence post, which is the back pile, directly out in front of us. And then kind of making a sort of a crucifix shape, really. We've got the left pile and the right pile. So we're going to send the dog from our side. Dog's going to run towards the back post. We can let them just run to the back post. We can just let them run right through if we want to. But we're also going to make sure we can stop them in the middle, and we can cast them left or right or back. And this is the beginning of, you know, when you get to this point, the T-drill, you can really see the blind retrieve coming together, and it's really going to fill you with a lot of confidence. And you then need to repeat that in a couple of new locations and just basically keep training it. Now, the other thing that I'll say about blind retrieves and in terms of all the straight line stuff, there's a couple of things I want to say, actually. One thing is that it's a lot easier to train retrievers to do this, specifically Labradors, in my experience, than to train HBRs or Spaniels to do any of this. And partly that's just breeding. It's what they've been trained to do, almost, to hold these straight lines, to take lines from us, to, you know, work with us over great distances and to be handled and stay in connection with us over great distances. I think that it requires some sort of spatial awareness in the dog's brain. The dog's got to understand where their body is, kind of out on the terrain, and they have to understand where your body is. And then when you give them a cast or a line, they have to be able to relate that cast or that line to where they are and where that means they should go to. It's quite an advanced skill, all of this. So dogs that have been bred for generations and generations to be able to do all of this are going to be able to do it more easily, more readily than dogs which haven't been bred to do this for so long. And HBRs and Spaniels are not trained to run in straight lines conventionally. Specifically, HBRs back in their country of origins are not trained to run blind retrieves in straight lines like this. they would just hunt up the blind. So they would be hunting and quartering. They would point the bird would be flushed, it would be shot. And if they don't see where it falls, they usually have some kind of a sense of what direction it's gone in. And they would then use their nose, use the wind, and hunt up the blind retrieve. That would be how it's most conventionally done. In the UK, HBRs are expected to hold straight lines, which I always think is a bit extra tough for them because it's not something they've been bred to do for generations and generations. Spaniels are expected to hold straight lines, but because everything is on such a small scale for the Spaniel and they've got such super great noses, to be fair, they don't really need to hold the line over any considerable distance. And usually their nose takes over and helps them before they need to rely on that straight line very much. So really, this is the realm of retrievers. Now, of course, you can do it with HBRs and Spaniels. If you're going to do it with Spaniels, do all this stuff on much smaller scale. And I cover that on the courses as well, in terms of the scale that you might expect to do some of this over. HBRs, you can do the same scale as retrievers. It's just going to be a little bit tougher. And I think another reason why it's a little bit tougher is that HBRs and Spaniels are bred to hunt before the shot. So they're bred to kind of want to quarter, to want to use the wind, to want to run a sort of a roughly zigzag pattern, basically, to hunt in that kind of way, rather than just to run out in a straight line. And so you're kind of always fighting that sort of tendency that the dog has as well. And that kind of makes things a little bit more challenging too. So I think I've waffled on long enough now about blind retrieves. So I will just sum up again by saying the courses, if you want to train the blind retrieves, are number one, blind retrieves. Number two, remote stop. You can do those two at the same time. Number three, first steps in three-handed casting. And number four, training the T-drill. And you can get all of those from my website, forcefreegundog.com, using the code HAPPYHOLIDAYS2023 for 40% off. And there's a couple more days left on that sale. So that's all for today, everybody. I will be back tomorrow.
Hold the line.